Gail, are you here?
Yes, I am, Bill.
Very good. Well, welcome to tonight's teleconference. This is Bill Blatchford and with Blatchford Solutions. Tonight, I would like to welcome you to this conference. We're going to have Dr. Dale Schisler from Ontario. What we're going to be talking about tonight is Blatchford's custom coaching program and how it helps Dr. Schisler in his practice in Ontario, actually Oakville, Ontario, near a suburb of Toronto. Dale has been a client for about 3 years. Some of the things we're going to be talking about tonight, we're going to talk about how do you establish vision, how do you put systems in place, how do you train the team to work on that, and how do you raise your profitability? I mean, that's really what we're talking about. And right now with the what's going on in the economy, and if I can put in my 2 cents on the economy, I think it will get better real soon. I think the without making this a political discussion, I think that the press has done a very effective job of creating panic among the American people. And really, what is a recession? People quit spending money. People stop investing money. Ran across an item on the Internet the other day, which I researched a little bit. As far as I can tell, it's accurate. There's roughly $7 trillion of cash sitting out there right now that people have not invested. I know in my own case, 401k from this last year is sitting in a cash position as opposed to invested. Where do you put your money? I mean, where do you put your money today that it doesn't go down 25% tomorrow? And so, anyway, they've done fairly well. But I think now that the election is over, and I think things will settle down and things will get back to normal. But how do you become more profitable? I think that's really the key that most dentists are looking for. How do you build a practice that is fun to go to work? How do you build a practice where the quality of dental care is higher than you've ever done before? How do you put a team together? How do you get a small group of people to get extraordinary results? And that's really the topic of tonight's conversation. So I want you to welcome Dr. Dale Schisler, and as you can all give him a round of applause. We can't hear you, of course, but it's all right. We'll pretend you are. Dale, are you there?
I am, Bill.
Very good. You're going to speak up a little bit louder, Dale.
Okay.
I'd like you to talk about your experience for the last 3 years with us. Now, we're using WebEx tonight. We're not using video. It's just too cumbersome to use with this type of presentation. But there is a small chat box in your on your computer screen. And if you have questions tonight, just please type them in. Identify yourself by first name only. If you'd like, you can identify by your entire name if you want, but first name will do, and the state you're from. Tonight we have approximately 60 people registered for this call. We're represented 34 states and two Canadian provinces. We're pretty much scattered from the northeast to the southwest to the southeast to the northwest, and so we've got doctors scattered all over the map. I have the list of doctors in front of me. Some of the names are familiar. Some are brand new. So for those of you who are the first time on the call, welcome to this. We do one of these a month. We interview some of our doctors. Many of the doctors are out of our book, Playing Your A Game, which is available on our website. The proceeds of that book go to the Juvenile Diabetic Research Foundation and the OHSU Dental School. And it's a great book. It has 23 case studies of variety of doctors, a variety of types of practices, and certainly different locations around the country. And so it's a good book for you to read. And so we're going to talk tonight with Dr. Dale Schisler about his experiences over the last 3 years. I mentioned you can send the questions using the chat box. Well, let's start with Dale's story. Dale, could you just give us a quick rundown, your history? I mean, Dale is almost my age, as you can tell by his photograph. Not quite, of course. But tell us your story a little bit, your background in dentistry, type of practice you have, how we met, how you made the decision to join our program, what you've accomplished since then. And I'm going to be more specific a little later, because Dale and I talked this afternoon, and I actually made some slides some of his accomplishments. So, Dale, take it away.
Well, I guess I had the traditional dental practice, a roller skate practice. Going to work and kind of like working in a factory there. I'd have cast of thousands.
Dozens anyway.
And I guess it was about 3 years ago I met you, Bill. You were talking at a seminar. The light went on. And I think I signed up for your coaching program right on the spot. I had reached a stage where my overhead was so high that I was just spending all kinds of extra time at the office just trying to meet the overhead. My payroll was out of control. I was doing all kinds of dentistry that I really didn't like to do. I just wasn't getting much time off. I had reached the age of 60. I wanted to spend a little more time with my grandchildren. And I wasn't, as I say, doing as much a dentistry that I preferred to do. And I wasn't making a whole lot of money by the time I paid my taxes. I was just overworked, and I just wasn't making a whole lot of money, not having a whole lot of fun.
Well, Dale, paying taxes is just sharing the wealth. Let's not worry about paying taxes.
We can share the wealth up here, Bill.
Okay, you really share the wealth in Canada, don't you?
We do.
Now, Dale, you were, and when you say your overhead was really high, Dale's overhead, I believe, was between 75 and 80%, which is the national average in both countries, is somewhere around 75%, and that's not unusual, but it did create him to work quite a bit more. Well, so that's how you started. You joined the program. You came down here to Sun River, I remember, with your wife, and we started thinking about it. Now, this afternoon, I talked with Dale about what he was going to talk about tonight, because I didn't know for sure, but he said the number one thing that improves is lifestyle. Dale, why don't you talk about that?
Good. I'm working 4 days a week. I take about 10 weeks holidays. I leave the office.
I believe you take most of the month of September off.
Yeah, I go to Victoria for September. I like to fish, and Victoria on the island, Vancouver Island, is just the best. There's always something running, and I just kind of have more time to do those things that I like to do, hobbies, hanging out with my family. I think that what it did, it gave me enough time to recover from the rigors of practice so that I could get my game plan going. And so I was full of energy when I got back.
Mm-hmm. So lifestyle, and you tell us about taking a month off.
Yeah.
How long have you done that?
I did it once about 10 years ago, and then I found it was just too much time away at a single time. There was just too much to catch up to. I have an associate now that handles things when I'm gone, but I've been taking a month off certainly for about 4 years, and it's just a great thing to do. I go back to work totally refreshed. I have a different attitude. I find that we can present dentistry better when I've got that amount of time off to regroup.
You know, one of the things that we teach in this program is the difference between the time and effort economy, and time and effort economy is what most people exist in. If you get paid by the hour or by the day or by the month, you get paid for spending a certain amount of time on the job. And 95% of us grew up in that kind of an economy. And we basically run our offices in that kind of economy. But there's another economy that we teach for entrepreneurs, and that economy is called the results economy. And this is a concept we introduced Dale to when he first started the program. And I said, how much would you like to take off? And he said, I'd like 10 weeks. And I said, well, Dale, are you turning any patients away? And he said, no. Now, you see, my theory is, and by the way, we've proved it over and over again, that if you're not turning patients away, you're working too many days. Because, you see, it's not a matter of capacity to treat patients. It's really a matter of demand in most practices. And most practices have more capacity than they have demand for. So I'm saying, why not take 10 weeks off? The other side of the equation, or another way to look at this concept, is that in the past, in a traditional time and effort economy, you see, vacations were doled out as a reward for hard work. As a matter of fact, if most of you look at your personnel policy, you will find that you don't give anybody a vacation until they've been with you a certain number of months or years or whatever it is. So it's a reward for hard work. But there are three stages we go through when we come back from a vacation. And the first stage is productive. And that's what Dale's referring to when he says that when I come back, I'm rested, I'm fresh, I'm ready to go. And then we stay there and we move now into the mechanical stage. I'm there, but I'm really just going through the motions. And one of the things that we notice there is that production starts to drop because doctors' confrontational tolerance is lower and doesn't present the treatment. And then from the mechanical stage, we move into the burnout stage. Now, the burnout stage, some of the symptoms of burnout stage is when you start saying to your people around you or saying to yourself, boy, I really need a vacation. I really deserve a vacation. So then you go off on a vacation, but you're worn out when you get on vacation, so you don't really enjoy it. And then you come back to work, and you go through the same thing again, productive stage, mechanical stage, burnout stage. Now, my suggestion is you skip the mechanical stage and the burnout stage, and you take a vacation. And you start to look at the vacation as preparation for that productive phase. It's a tough concept, very simple to intellectualize about, but it's hard for a lot of people to grasp. But that is something that one of the first things that we exposed Dale to was this whole concept of time and effort versus results. Last year, in 07, we found that our highest producing doctors, not on a daily basis, but on a yearly basis, were working 3 to 3.5 days a week with 8 to 10 weeks vacation. So if any of you on the call are not taking that much vacation time or taking a month off, you might want to talk to us. Dale, tell us, you mentioned the quality of treatment. I thought you might put something else up there, number two, but tell us about that.
Since I've been doing more extensive cases, full month rehabilitation, I just got better at it. The results are better. My ties with my laboratory are a whole lot better. I had absolutely no idea of how difficult and challenging the physical part of the type of dentistry I'm doing now, Bill, was going to be. And I had no idea how rewarding it was going to be. It is absolutely astounding to my team and myself of how grateful these people are when we're finished. And the second thing is we're well rewarded for doing good dentistry. So I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm getting paid for it. And you did mention, too, Bill, about cutting down on the number of hours in the office. My team has just about, we're putting the final touches on it this afternoon, of going down to 3 days a week. And that, if you had mentioned that to me, presented that to me 3 years ago, I'd have probably walked out on you because I knew it was impossible. But it is possible, and we've done the math on it, and I'm pretty sure it's going to work just fine.
Oh, it will work, and we know it will. We've talked about that, and as we said, our highest producers last year did 3 days a week. Dale, while we're talking here, why don't we talk numbers just a minute. I'm going to slide for numbers a minute, but just so you give them an idea, about what are you producing?
The latest figures I have are just up to June, and my chair, my room alone, I'm not talking about hygiene or associates or anything, my chair alone, I think it was 1.8.
In your room alone?
Yeah, in my room alone.
Okay, very good. That's dollars?
Yes, it is.
Canadian okay, very dollars. Good. Just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Canadian dollars, of course, and Canadian dollars are now worth a little bit more than U.S. dollars, just too. hasn't always been that way. All right, now, you mentioned this afternoon when we were talking that you more than doubled your net income.
Yes, my plan was... I think I was making somewhere around $300 way back then and working awfully hard to get it. And I've more than doubled that now. My net, that is, Bill.
Yeah, what you're taking home.
Yeah, and then after taxes, of course, more.
All right, and while we're speaking of lifestyle, I do want to mention that we do a Blatchford Solutions does a ski trip to Park City, Utah each year. And that's February 26th to March 3rd. March 4th, 5th, and 6th, which is my birthday, we'll be up in Whistler speaking to the Canadian Dental Association, and also my wife wants to get me out of Park City on my birthday. Last year I broke my back there on the Olympic bobsled run, so we got to get out of Dodge before we do that again. But if you want to go on a ski trip, there we are. All right, Dale, let's talk a little bit about the philosophy. I mean, we've talked a little bit about what you've accomplished. How did you make these changes? I mean, what is the philosophy of your practice? Let's talk a little bit about the leader, and let's talk a little bit about the team.
Well, let's talk about that team. It's interesting. I enjoy going to work now. I look forward to it, and my team does too, and they tell me that almost every day. One of the good things that when we implemented some of these systems that you taught us, and I'll get into that in a second. But one of the good things was my team is bonused on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, they're almost making what their salary is doubled by the bonus.
And so what would, say, a dental assistant in your office be making currently on an annual basis? Got a young dental assistant there in the background.
Yeah, that's not my baby. Might be my grandkid. They're about $20 an hour.
Okay.
That works out too.
And that's their salary, and then they get
that's their salary, and then they
bonus on top of that of almost as much.
On top, just about make that again with bonus.
Uh huh.
So,
how many staff did you have? I mean, you had a staff before we started.
I had pushing 20.
And a staff, just for all of you on the call, we call a staff an infection. A team is what we're trying for, and you had about 20.
I had about 20. We pared that down to seven.
To seven people from 20,
yeah,
and your production went.
Yeah, that doesn't include me.
And the production went up.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I had a question come in just a moment ago on our chat. Somebody sent a question in that had read our Playing Your A Game and says, most of your doctors seem to have small staffs. How do you make that work? And the thing, and the answer to that is, how do you make that work, of course, is you put systems in place that don't require so many people. You also train your team members. Instead of what we've done in dentistry for so long, we hire someone without the skill, we don't train them, then we hire them a helper. And if they don't get it done, we hire them another helper. And you see, there are a lot of things that we can do to work with a much more efficient team. And we're going to talk about overhead numbers in a few minutes. And you're going to see that, especially in today's economic environment, that you have to have your overhead under control. And I'm going to show you some real numbers. And for some of you, it's going to scare you a little bit. But we are experiencing a little bit of a slowdown. And it's all panic on the part of the public, but part of our patients. Real or imagined, it's happening. And most of our clients are doing real well, but in the last month, they're starting to slow down a little bit. And all across the country, I'm getting calls from laboratories that would like me to come in and do something for them, do a seminar for their doctors on case presentation or something, because laboratories are down about 25% for the year right now. So when we start hitting those kind of drops, especially in discretionary types of dentistry, which in my philosophy, all dentistry is discretionary, makes a huge difference. So we have to get overhead under control, and the biggest area of overhead that's out of control is the amount you're paying out for staff. And we're not going to go through Dale's budget tonight, but if you're up there in that 30% plus on staff, now that would be so the entire administrative team, that's the clinical team, which is the dental assistants and the hygienist, plus payroll costs, plus pension plans, medical insurance, etc. And if you're up in that 30, you're average. Our clients operate between 15 and 20%. Well, there's 10% right there, right off your overhead, and you take that 10% of your current production, and that's all net income that you're leaving on the table every month. And we've proven this about 2,500 times that we can operate at 20%. So there's your team. Dale, you mentioned to me today that your team is selected on a criteria that you would go on a vacation with them.
Interesting. One of the concepts you presented to me 3 years ago was if you have anybody on your team that you wouldn't want to go on a holiday with, they shouldn't be there.
Yeah. And well, as a matter of fact, my holiday that I described to you is we're driving across West Texas in an unair-conditioned Volkswagen van, and somebody that you would like should be on your team, you would take them on the trip to make it more fun. And if you wouldn't do that, you'd say, here's a first-class ticket. You fly to El Paso. I'll drive the van by myself. That person shouldn't be with you.
Yeah. Well, I've got a team that does holiday together. And when we travel to for continuing ed, we all go as a group. Everybody has a good time. I just want to mention, too, about how you can function with lower numbers of team members. My dental assistant's broken her foot, so she's at work, but she's kind of hobbling around, and it's not really productive, but we're all cross-trained. And just before a team meeting today, I said to one of the gals, I said, are you coming? She says, well, I've got to take a couple x-rays for Bonnie. Now, this particular person is patient services. She works the front desk. So she was down there taking x-rays. She happens to be HARP certified. But she was down there taking x-rays for Bonnie, who's broken her foot.
Huh.
So, and I'm not going to hire an extra assistant. They're all pitching in it, and they're carrying the place.
Well, they get 20%. They can divide it by 7. They can divide it by 10. Their choice.
That's right.
Speaking of broken foot, you broke your you broke some bones a couple of years ago, didn't you, Dale?
Well, Bill, I did. I was taking the Christmas lights down in January a couple of years ago and fell off the roof and broke a foot, right hand, and broke my back as well. The interesting thing about that is I don't own a ladder. And as a matter of fact, the doorbell rang yesterday, and I went to the door, and the guy said, "We're here to put the Christmas lights up." And I said, "Go right ahead."
As a matter of fact, we established a new rule after Dale felt putting his Christmas tree lights up or down. And I tell all my clients, no more ladders. Anything you do on a ladder, you can hire somebody to do. Dale fell off the ladder and was out for 3 months. Now think about what Dale produces in 3 months and what it costs to do those things we do on ladders. So my clients, so if you don't learn anything else on tonight's call, when it comes time to put the Christmas tree lights up this year, hire somebody.
Yeah.
Don't take a chance on it.
This happened in the first year that I was with you in the coaching program. And these ideas are so powerful that even though I had all that happen, by... I think it was October, we had doubled our net.
Yeah, we still had a good year that year.
Yeah,
tell us a bit about the leader. What did we change in the leader?
It all comes down from the top. No matter how you slice it, you have to come up with the ideas, and you have to lead these people. And there's so many books and so much training on leadership out there. You just have to do your homework and learn different ways to listen to your team and respond to what they need. Because believe it or not, they know a whole lot more about your practice than you do.
Excellent. All right, let's talk about numbers. Gross revenue. We've talked a little bit about them. Let's be a little more specific. You said 1.8 in your chair.
You know, I'm glad you asked me this, Bill. I haven't got it at my fingertips, but I think the whole office, I have an associate and two hygienists and a restorative hygienist. I think we're probably going to hit around four this year.
4 million.
Yeah, 4 million, yeah.
We heard a few doctors pass out when you said that, Dale. Dale,
Well, Bill, when I... I'm at the programs you offer, the Dynamo, et cetera. I'm meeting people that are doing over that, and the funny thing is that these people have a team of four people, including the doctor, and they're all producing me.
Yeah.
So I just look at that and say, I've got a long way to go.
That's right. Well, no, you're doing real well. That's why you're on the call. Now, you mentioned your overhead was between 75 and 80%. What was it last year?
48.
48%. Now, I'm going to show you some numbers in a few minutes, but we're going to go through the rest of your numbers here. What are you getting for new patients a month, Dale?
That varies. I'm going to tell you why it varies. We screen them when they call in, and I don't work on children right now anymore, and all the kids and younger people go to my associate. Mm-hmm. And anybody that looks like they might need dentistry comes to see me. So last month was slow. I was late for 2 weeks, but we got seven new patients.
Dale, we had some questions come in from some people about marketing ideas. What's your major marketing thrust?
My just about major and only marketing is internal. And it consists of one thing, we ask for referrals. Now, when I say that, you have to treat the patients very well.
So the major thing is asking for referrals.
Asking for referrals.
And, you know, Dale, I talk to a lot of doctors who tell me they do that, but I contend they don't. I contend they only do it when somebody gives them a compliment. I contend it's only the doctor doing it. And stress in the office is so obvious that nobody wants a part of it. In your office, everybody's laughing, having a good time, and people want to be part of that.
There's a lot of laughing going on, and I think people pick up on that when they come in. They can tell when there's stress in the office. If there's a disagreement between a couple of people, they pick up on that. If they see that everybody's having fun, they want to be part of it, and they buy the dentistry they need.
Excellent. All right, we're going to move on the slide. We talked about overhead. I want to show you something. You mentioned your staff are bonusing, and I saw that some of them bonus $1,500 last month. I want to show you all of you some numbers, give Dale a little rest here. And I think this is critical because we have to, what I call, recession-proof your practice. I'm going to show you these numbers. You might want to jot these down. If you're doing $1 million at a 75% overhead, you're spending $750. And that gives you a net income of $250,000. Now, there are certain politicians who believe that puts you in a wealthy category. But let me show you what happens. If you have a 10% drop in your production, your expenses stay roughly the same. You just had a 40% reduction in net. You're down to $100,000. And again, if we have a 10% drop, and I even dropped the expenses a little bit, down to $100,000. Now, if you take that same practice doing $1 million, get the overhead down to 50%, your net's $500,000. So one of the things that I see right now, more important than ever, is getting your overhead at 50% range. It's so doable, and yet so few doctors do it. It takes a little bit of management, leadership, and I think some coaching that could happen, because you have to make some tough decisions. But now watch what happens. At a 10% drop in production, expenses stay the same, but you still have 400 net. And you can just take a look at that. Dale, you mentioned today silver bullets versus new directions. Talk about that a little bit. So many doctors are looking for the silver bullet. I look at this list of doctors on this call tonight. I can say at least a dozen of them have been on many calls. I presume they're looking for that silver bullet that they think is going to solve the problem. Dale, you'd been in a lot of coaching and consulting programs in the past. Is it silver bullet?
Well, that's what you get promised, Bill, is a silver bullet. I've had about four different coaches in my office bringing in new systems, tangible things, but it all boils down to a philosophy. I have never had great results because I have not had my team on the same page. Now, one of the things I liked about your program, is that you made me accountable. I need that accountability. And what you're teaching is not so much systems, but philosophy. I think that's why it works.
Okay, very good. So it's more the philosophy than what's actually going on. Okay, let's talk about some questions here from some of the audience. I'm looking at several consultants. What do you do differently? Well, it's not about systems. It's coaching. It's coaching. We work for doctors. I'm not working for staff members. I will go to the wall for staff members committed to what you are, but I am not working for the team. I work for doctors. How will you know my practice concerns? I'm told your consultants don't actually visit my office. I don't want to offend anybody. They're all the same. I don't need to visit your office. I've done this 2,500 times. We do send a consultant into your office, but I sit down with you and your spouse privately, and we figure out what you want, and we work out a plan to get you from point A to point B.
Bill, if I could just interrupt.
Go for it.
What you did for me is you helped me create a vision that I was able to stick to so that I didn't get off track.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the only coaching person I've seen out there, or one of the few anyway, that allowed me to create a vision and taught me how to stay with it.
I think, as a matter of fact, a few times I had to push a little bit to stay with it.
Yes, you did, and I don't mind being pushed.
We got a few blisters in the bottom of Dale's feet, his feet to the fire. We also spent a lot of time on sales skills.
Yes.
And I think that's a major part of our program, is teaching your staff and or your team members how to present dentistry in a way that people see value. And I think right now, with the increased competition out there for discretionary dollars and people's hesitancy to spend it, this skill is even more important than ever. When the economy is great and everybody's spending money, it's really quite easy. But when people slow down a bit, this is when this really comes into play. Dale, tell us about the difference between coaching and consulting.
Okay. One of the things that you're not,
because you've had several consultants.
Yeah, you're one.
And I don't want you to name any of them.
Okay. They tend to come into the office, and where that's different with you too. You haven't been in the office, although I did have Nancy come in for a couple of days.
So let's make this real clear. You've doubled your income, cut more days, and I've never been to your office.
No.
Okay, just want to make that clear.
That's true. I think when a consultant goes into the office, what they do is they frighten your employees. They're looking over their shoulders, and they cannot teach your team to be on the same page. That comes from leadership, and that comes from the doctor.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, that's the only way it can work.
The other thing that I see is a coach stays separate, and the consultant who comes into your office on a regular basis, before you know it, they're simply a part-time employee. And when they become a part-time employee, they can't even see the problems. As a matter of fact, very often they're part of the problem, and that's what the biggest thing that we do is look in from the outside. That's why I have a coach in my business, is because I can't see the problems in my business.
Yeah.
I bring someone else in. So it all boils down to leadership is what you're saying.
It does, and I think you bring out or teach dentists how to become leaders if they aren't already, and it's a skill that is not difficult to learn once you get past your ego.
Very good. Let's take a look at some questions coming in here. Understanding there are three basic ways to increase net: increase productivity per unit time, decrease overhead, and increase fee. Sounds like it's an accountant that wrote this one in. Which of those most effectively initially and has been the best long-term effect? Can you share some fee levels that contribute to the 1.8 of production? Dale, what do you charge for your, say, a typical Crown Bridge unit?
A Crown is $1,250.
So your fees are not extraordinary.
No.
You just do a lot of them.
Yeah. Now, they were lower than that. We have a fee guide in Ontario. That's much lower than that.
Explain the fee guide to us. I know what it is, but the doctors in the U.S. don't know what that is.
Our dental association works with the Royal College of Dental Surgeons, and they come up with a fee guide that's acceptable to insurance companies, because insurance companies still, they do have their fingers in the pie, and they come up with an annual guide that insurance companies take as gospel, and it's always a bit low.
So it's a little bit like the fee guide that, say, Delta Dental Insurance publishes, and some doctors have promised Delta that they will provide dentistry at those fees. You just don't follow that fee guide.
No, I choose not to. And
yeah.
That's a huge hurdle, mental hurdle to get over, because you know in your heart when you start charging more than the fee guide, you're going to lose a lot of patients. It does not happen. Your patients that you want to stay. If anybody leaves, you really don't like those people anyway.
Yeah. What, Dale, what percentage of dentists in Ontario follow the fee guide?
Off the top of my head, I would think at least 90%.
Uh-huh.
90.
So even though your fee doesn't seem tremendously high, it's higher than 90% of the dentists around you, probably.
Yes, it is.
So you're in that top 10% fee-wise.
And we tell patients that when they call in for an appointment. We mention that our fees are higher than the suggested fee guide. And we have a little, it's scripted, so they know what to say. And we don't lose anybody that way.
And so you actually tell them on the phone the fee is higher.
That's right. If that's going to be an issue, we find out about it right away, because I just find that I don't want to do welfare dentistry.
Excellent.
It, uh, not rewarding for me at all.
Very good. All right, so here's a question I'd like to ask for all of us in the call. And I know you're having some feedback questions or feedback issues with my voice, but that's why I have slides as well. The question is, will this next year, 2009, be a repeat of 08 for you? And I think what the question you should be asking yourself, what will be different? What will be different? I think one of the things that will be different is going to be the economic environment. It's going to be more difficult. I will point out that this may have worked for certain political candidates, but hope is not a business strategy. Hope is not a business strategy. And that no decision to change things in your practice is actually a decision. It's a decision to continue doing the same things you've always done and somehow hope that the results will change. Now, each one of you in this call is going to get a call from one of our special teams coordinators and talk to you about what we could do for your program. I would like you to take the call, return the call, and actually sit down, and we'll sit down with you and show you the profit potential in your practice. Yes, we'd like you to enroll in our program. I did have a question coming in earlier that said, what kind of return can I get on the fee for your coaching program? Well, where are you going to invest money this next year? You're going to put it in the stock market and lose 25% in a week? Last year, our doctors averaged a 300% return on our $47,000 coaching fee. I don't think there are too many investments out there right now that you can do that with. So you can expect a really good return on this. Dale is an example. We've had other examples on here. But if you want to contact us or go to our website, there's the contact information. Unless anybody else has another question you'd like to ask myself or Dale, I'd like to adjourn this call tonight, and I apologize for the echoing, but I hope you got the gist of the call. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dale.
Thank you, Bill.